Welcome to the Love on the Go podcast, brought to you by Carolina's Matchmaker. I'm Lori Burzak, and for over 17 years, I've been helping singles find the relationship of their dreams all over the Carolinas. Along the journey, I've met so many amazing professionals and experts from various fields, and I'm excited to introduce them to you. What's my goal? I want to help you look at love and relationships in a new way and to grow in your understanding of how love works. Let's learn together how people have overcome personal obstacles and have found love, first and foremost with themselves. The ultimate goal is realizing that you are worthy and deserving of love. Let's get started.
Tara, it's lovely to have you on Love on the Go today. Tara Naparud has been a friend of mine for many years now.
It's been over 10 years because I was just getting my real estate license when I met you.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
And we have hung out socially. You've helped me at events that I've thrown.
Yeah.
We've met for coffee. We've met at restaurants. You've introduced me to friends. I knew you when you were married. Now you're divorced for about 5 years or so. So right. I've watched you on the life's journey.
It's a journey for sure. Yes. No, and you've been a good friend and a good resource, and it's been fun learning about matchmaking through you, because I learned a lot because I was helping you recruit for a little bit.
And you helped me recruit, and that was fun. So when I first met you, and I think you still do this, and this is something that I think would be so fun to talk to everyone about, is you are such a people person. You're an extrovert. You get out. Even when you were married, you and your ex would go out and you would meet dynamic, interesting people just on random weeknights. On school nights, you went out.
Right.
Met people. So I think it would be really interesting to talk today about the ability, how do you approach people out in the wild? Just friendly, conversation, but breaking that ice, which I think is hard for people to do. I want to definitely talk to you about what dating has been like for you. And by the way, for those of you who aren't watching on YouTube, I mean, Tara is a beautiful woman. What are you, in your 50s or so? Something around there? Yeah.
Early 50s. Don't shoot me too far into my 50s.
Hey, mid 50s is a great time. You're consistently dating, you're consistently meeting people. So what it's been like out there in the dating scene for the last 5 years, you know, also as a mom of two grown kids, and some of the things that you've shared with me, it would be interesting to tell some stories. So, and also, you know, you're doing great, you know? Hey, you don't have to be in a relationship. I don't even know if you're in one right now. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be happy and to be living a phenomenal life.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think that's a great message to get out there, even if somebody just heard that part and they're like, and I'm out. Okay. So, so let's talk about what does your social life look like right now?
So I'm very, very fortunate to have a lot of girlfriends that are either single or married, that still, and the married couples that still include me in their social life, I so appreciate, because it doesn't, just because you're single doesn't mean that you can't hang out with married people, and certainly not a threat, whatever. But, but I have a great group of supportive girlfriends, and they're active, they get out. And so I'm never for a loss to have something to do, especially now that my kids are out of the house and I'm an empty nester. So, I get out for work because I have to. So, you know, there's functions for work. There's, you know, just working in general, but, I'm definitely out in the social scene, in the single social scene in Charlotte. And, definitely it's different than when I was married, but it's, you know, you learn as you go, and it's good for the most part.
What do you do on the social scene in Charlotte? Where do you go?
So whether it's listening to music, finding a good band, whether it's during the day, like in South End area where there's live music, or at night, or just, you know, a bar restaurant scene that's local that you like, and you know people that are going to be there. So you automatically have somebody to talk to. You know that you're going to run into somebody. And so it's not necessarily that I'm going out looking for a man. That's really the opposite, because I don't like being hit on at bars and restaurants. It just, I think I used to, and then it just became a turnoff. I'd rather just be out and be able to be with my friends and have a conversation and not have somebody try and hit on me.
Right.
But it happens, of course, because sure. You're out, right? So it's so you just, you know, you manage it. But when you were talking about meeting people while you're out, I am a social person. I love to hear people's stories. And I think that because I am genuinely interested, I can ask the questions, and I'm not just asking questions to ask questions. I actually want to, you know, whether it's a man or a woman, I want to hear their story, and it's fascinating. But I also realize that if I'm out, I'm probably want to talk to somebody. If you don't want to talk to somebody, then you're going to sit on your couch and watch Netflix. Right. So
exactly.
Right. Go so out. I don't have a problem breaking the ice, because I know that it's most likely this person wants to have a conversation, and they almost always do. So I just, you know, I just ask a couple questions and it goes from
That's
there.
An example. What does that look like? Because people.
So let's say going to a bar, and I do like to sit at a bar because it's, you know, I do want to have a conversation, especially, and I don't go out by myself, but once in a while, if I go out and I'm meeting somebody and I'm there first, I will just say, "Hey, how are you doing?" with the okay. person next to me, you know, or if they have like a really delicious meal in front of them, I'm like, "What is that?" You know, what just ask a question, and it doesn't take a lot to break the ice. Okay. And if somebody's really closed off, you're going to pick up on it quickly. Like they'll pick up their phone, or they'll have their, you know, their AirPods in or something. I'm not going to try and start a conversation with somebody that clearly doesn't want to be talked to. Right.
Yes. Right.
So, but more often than not, and if you see somebody talking to a bartender or a server or something, they want to have a conversation. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Just a simple, "Hi, how are you doing?" and a smile. Yeah.
Very easy. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be creepy. Right. I don't like it. I don't like when people are creepy, and sometimes they are, somebody came up to me, this last weekend and said, "What gym do you belong to?"
Oh.
And I was like, no.
So on one hand, you could think of it, it's a compliment. He can tell that I, you know, I'm in good shape and I work out. But on the other hand, no.
That was an obvious, like, that's his line. So yeah. I probably should have said, "I don't belong to a gym. You know, you shouldn't sit," like, I didn't though. I just said, you know, whatever gym, and cut it short. So.
Okay. How do you cut it off if somebody is like really talking up a blue streak with you?
It can be difficult because I don't like to be rude. I really don't. And sometimes it can be difficult. And sometimes my friends curse me when we're out, and I start talking to the person next to me, and this person starts talking ears off, and they're like, "Tara, we just wanted to, you know, whatever." I'm like, I don't know how to turn this off, and sometimes I'll just say, you know, I'm here with my friend, and she's got a story she needs to tell me. So it was nice talking to you.
Okay. Okay. That's or it. You can, as long as you break it off, you can say, "Do you know where the restroom is?" And just literally excuse yourself.
Right. Right.
And when you come back, you can go to a different section of the bar.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Start a conversation with your friend, and then.
Right.
Or you could even just say, "Hey, listen, I need to let you go, but it's been nice getting to know you."
Right.
And pat him on the shoulder and walk away.
Right. And I had a guy, it was at a party. It was at a, like a house party. And he, had very strong opinions, and he wanted to share his opinions, and I didn't want to hear him. So I said, and I mean, it was, you know, like there's many other people that would be more fun to talk to. And so I said, I just looked at him. I said, "It was nice talking to you. Have a good rest of your night." And he's like, "Did I offend you?" Cause I'm pretty sure that's not the first time that somebody has cut him short, if that's kind of his MO. And he goes, did I offend you? I said, "Absolutely not. I just am done with the conversation." And that's about as, that's about as rude as I get. And I felt rude, but it was clear that this guy wasn't going to stop talking. So
I'm just done with the conversation.
I'm just done with the conversation. No, you didn't offend me. We don't need to talk about why or how you offended me, because that, he was one of those people that just wants to argue.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, debate.
You
just want to have fun and hang out with meet people that aren't debaters. Okay. Perfect.
Right. Yeah.
So when you and I, the last time we got together, you were telling me a story about a guy that you dated long distance.
Yes.
Sounded like quite the catch.
Yes.
And then found out he was living like triple lives.
Yeah. That if you've seen that movie, the movie, The Other Women, I don't know if it's woman or women. It's definitely women in his case.
Yeah.
So, my biggest takeaway from that, there's a couple takeaways. My biggest takeaway from that is the way. Oh, I met him through a mutual friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was good friends with this guy, and he made it very clear that this person wasn't looking for a long-term relationship, but you'd have a lot of fun with him. And I was like, and at that point I was fairly newly divorced, and I was like, I'm not really either. But when I met him, we had great chemistry and great connection, but he kind of ran with it. So you kind of follow their lead.
Yeah.
And I purposely wasn't dating in Charlotte because Charlotte's small.
Yes.
And everybody knows everybody. And I just wasn't ready to delve into that, the single dating life in Charlotte, and like, oh, you dated this person, you know, which could be a friend of yours or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was attracted to the long distance, and something shifted at some point after about seven, nine months. And my biggest takeaway from that, and the advice that I would give guys or girls, mm-hmm. is listen to your gut.
Yeah.
Like when you have a feeling that something off, and this guy was he had an answer for everything. So when I would kind of question something, it was, you know, he smoothed it over very easily, but come to find out he had a serious relationship, girlfriend in Charleston. Oops. Somewhere outside of Charlotte.
How often were you seeing him?
So he lived outside of Charlotte, but he worked in Charlotte. So he was here almost every week.
Okay. Okay. So he's every week, even though he lives somewhere else. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So he had a kind of living a double life. It was interesting. And so when something shifted, and then I was like, you know, something's off, and then myself and this other lovely woman figured it out and scheduled a call, and so never talked to him again.
Wait a minute. How did you figure it out?
She figured it out.
She did.
And she sent me a direct message and said, do we need to talk?
And I said,
yeah. And I was like, it sounds like we do. So,
gosh.
Yeah.
So he had been dating both of you. Okay. And then how did you handle it with him?
I never talked to him again.
Did you tell him you knew and then you were out, or you just...
at that point I was kind of not as serious with him because I could tell, you know, I knew something wasn't right, but he was full on with her and planning, like, you know, talking about marriage, all this stuff. And it wasn't hard for me not to talk to him again. It was really difficult for her, and it was difficult for her to get closure. So we ended up kind of, you know, becoming friends because she didn't, you know, I knew her story and we knew the same person, and she has thanked me, you know, many times for having the conversation and just being honest.
Okay. So she didn't.
Otherwise we never would have known.
It's a crazy story.
And don't be fooled by people's credentials. I'll just say that. Doesn't matter what school, business school you went to, positions you've had, they're, you know, just really listen to your gut.
There's a lot of shady people. Did you have an idea at the very beginning that something?
Not at all. No, not at all. Not at all. No.
Did you think to yourself, boy, he's such a catch. I'm surprised he's still on the market.
he made it pretty clear that he wasn't really looking to get married again, but then his actions were different than his words. So, you know, you start to, I think, as women, we listen to whichever one we want to believe, right? So I was listening to the actions or paying attention to the actions, and but the words were never that we were going to be forever.
Okay. So, yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so that was one relationship, obviously lasting almost a year, 9 months or so.
Yeah.
That's another example of a relationship that you learned something from.
Decided I'm going to pull the trigger and date in Charlotte. It had been divorced long enough where I'm ready for like a real relationship that's local. Mm-hmm. And the ex-girlfriend ended up being an absolute nightmare. And, she, mm-hmm. you know, she's local. Something's still going on, or she can't let go, or he can't let go, whatever it is. But it just became this dramatic roller coaster ride that I don't do drama. I don't know what I would say I learned from that other than get out earlier rather than dragging it on. You know, that never, it wasn't going to get any better, and it didn't, it got worse. And so, and the online dating is just not, it is, has not worked well for me. I've tried it. I don't have time for it. It gets to be a lot of, you know, people just wanted to text. They don't want to get together. And I'm like, I don't need
a pen pal.
Six guys at a time plus to text. I don't have time for it. So.
Well, do you ever try? I'm sure you do, because you're a service. Yeah. You ever just say, hey, listen, I don't have time to text. Do you want to, if you just want to meet up this weekend, I'm all game. And they're like, oh, I'm traveling. Or I'm
they usually drop off pretty quick.
They just drop off. So that's.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what I'm doing at this stage with my online dating clients is I'm just saying, you know, get to the date as quickly as possible. So you're not wasting your time by messaging. And also it'll let you see if they're really serious.
Right. And you and I, when you were, when I was helping you with the recruiting thing, I was like, you know, I can look at paper, somebody on paper all day long, but let me meet someone and it'll take me 5 minutes to figure it out.
100%.
Yeah. So, and it could be also, cause, and I do believe this, FaceTime, FaceTime call before you meet somebody. It could, I mean, definitely a phone call. But also FaceTime, because a lot of times people have different, they don't look like their picture anymore, or they've got a weird laugh. I can't do like a, that's terrible, but it's true. Oh, like you figured out
so much to do with relationships and attraction.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And you can pick up on that. You can pick up on that. And then, and this is going to sound terrible, but it really, I'm just being very upfront. If I'm FaceTiming a guy and he's got a bunch of dirty clothes and his bed's not made and whatever, I'm not like, first of all, you don't care that you're a slob. Like you didn't even have the wherewithal to like go to a room that has a decent backdrop. You know what I mean? Like you can, because we don't have that much time on our hands. I don't want to waste my time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to waste somebody else's time either.
Well, and the great thing about that is you just saved yourself like 5 dates or something, potentially.
I know, right?
Might not have gone to the bedroom before then, you know, meeting on the bound.
Right.
So that's actually like really interesting advice. And you can tell a lot. And I'll sometimes have a client who's dating in a different city, in a different state, across the country, whatever it is.
Yeah. And
FaceTimes have been valuable for sure.
Right.
You can just tell.
And if somebody says they don't want to FaceTime, that's a red flag.
Oh yeah.
Right. Totally. Like, then, you know, cause I'm not meeting, and it's not you. I mean, we need to be safe too. Like it really, there's a big safety factor there.
Do you run background checks?
I do. I have an app, because I'm a real estate agent. I have a background check app, which, is wonderful, because if I go and meet a client at a vacant house, that's not safe. Right. And so, I do run a background check, and it's, you know, I just think that if somebody has a, has had a restraining order or assault and battery.
Oh yeah.
No, we're not meeting.
Got it. You're not meeting. Yeah. Even like multiple speeding tickets is going to be a big
Yeah, record. When you see the 53 records, I'm like, how fast do you need to get to your next location?
Well, and also sometimes they'll come up as undisposed, so you don't really know what it is, but they've got 15 undisposed. It's like, how many times have you been in contact with the law?
I know.
That's also a red flag. I mean, it could be, even if it's just like a speeding ticket, a registration, something like something paperwork, but it just means you're not adulting. You're not dealing with your shit.
Right. Or you think that you're, or that could be a sign of like a massive ego or a narcissist that's above, right?
Especially the speeding tickets.
Right.
Heavy foot. And also sometimes those guys are the ones that come on really strong, fast.
Right. And that's where I'm, And again, it took me a minute to figure that out, but the ones that come on really strong, I'm like, let's slow down.
Yeah. We don't have to be in a rush here.
No.
Yeah. Enjoy the time. Enjoy the beginnings.
No, so we're not love bombing.
Right.
We don't need,
It's a huge red flag. Totally. Yeah. I was talking to a client recently and she told me that she was at this guy's house. He just said to her, he wants to be exclusive. She goes to the bathroom. She comes back and he is on his app. It's like, like a 5 minute break to the bathroom where he needs to, it's an addiction.
It is. I can see that. And when I was on, and that was part of the reason why I struggled being online dating was I caught myself going and looking when I could be doing something much more productive.
Yeah. Totally.
And I, you know what I mean? And so it really, and I just didn't find, I like, and you know me, I meet people so easily, organically out and about or through friends that really is, that's my ideal way. But I know that there's been some people have had great successes online. So it does work. It just hasn't worked for me.
I get it. Yeah. A lot. I mean, obviously, I mean, this is something that I do for people. So
yeah,
I know that it works, but it is a part-time job.
Right.
And it's especially good for people that aren't out and about like you are. Now, do you go to meetups? Do you do any of the hiking groups or any kind of organized activity?
I haven't, but things like if there's like a festival, you know, where there's, you know, an outdoor area that has, you know, you're kind of walking from place to place. You're not just like sitting at a bar. I like to do things like that. It's pretty easy to meet people in those situations. The Charlotte, the FC, the soccer games.
Yes.
I haven't been to one yet, but that's on the list. Yeah. Now that they're back and, you know, just some different things, but I haven't really joined any single groups outside of, you know, talking to you on occasion and when you have events helping if I can, but that also is not, that's me. That honestly is me helping people meet each other because I realized that that's a struggle and I'm good at it.
Yeah, totally. What did you observe at my last social? And I know I'm so bad about having these events because I'm such a perfectionist and people keep saying,
it takes a lot.
Why don't you have more events? And my, you know, this about me is,
yeah,
I want to have an event that's going to be like three quarters women, one quarter. The women are annoyed with me.
Right.
I'm annoyed that there isn't good representation. Then I spend all this time trying to recruit men. It's annoying. I cannot stand it. And then,
right.
And then I want to make sure all the ages are right. And could there potentially be matches? I micromanage the whole thing, drive myself crazy, spend.
Well, yeah, it's a lot.
Too much time doing it. And then it just doesn't make sense. But
so that I think that, and you know, years and years ago, I helped you with a couple of things. You were before COVID, obviously. I think people are shy and they just don't have the confidence to walk up to somebody and introduce themselves.
Yeah.
And so what, if you're at a function like that, they're there to meet people. So it's okay. It's okay to walk up and introduce yourself. But then you also have to have a little bit of thick skin because if somebody is immediately not interested and they kind of dismiss you, move on. That person's not for you. Go to, you know, But that's the reason why everyone is there, is to meet people. So it's not, it's not awkward for you to walk up and just introduce yourself.
Yeah. And like all the women were going for like the same five guys.
I know. Yeah.
Right? There's like one really tall guy in the room. They're all like, I want to talk to him.
I know. Yeah.
Stand in line.
Right.
You know, maybe talk to the guy who's, you know, 5'9" instead and enjoy. Right. Find a partner.
You know? Right. Right. Yeah. But that was a great event. That last one you had was a great event. And it was, I mean, you had a great turnout.
Yeah, we did. We had like 150 or something.
Yeah.
I just was so overwhelmed looking all around. I was like, I don't know what to do. Like at that point, I was just like, I just want to make sure nobody's standing by themselves. Like that was like the ultimate of everything that I could do at that point.
Right.
Yeah. So that was good. So how do you manage having kids, dating?
So I'm an empty nester at this point. So, you know, in the last couple of years, so it really hasn't been difficult because the kids are out of the house. So, but for my friends that do have kids, you know, all kids still in the house with all their activities and their own drama with, you know, kids, teenage kids, whatever, it's difficult for them. So they have to be that much more selective as to who they decide they want to talk to and spend time with. And that's when you realize that, you know, it's okay to say no. I've made myself go out on dates just to, because I am so picky. That I'm like, Terry, you need to give this person a chance. So I've made myself go out on dates and I've met some great people. There wasn't a connection or chemistry there, but it's a good way to learn a little bit more about yourself and other people and what it is that you're really looking for.
But you knew right away that it wasn't going to be a match.
Yeah.
Even before you went on the date, but you forced yourself.
Typically, yes. There's been a couple that fooled me, but
you can usually tell. When do you introduce your love interest to your kids? Even if
I haven't.
Never. Okay.
No, the guy that was out of town kind of by default met my kids, but it wasn't like a, hey, I want you to meet my kids. It was, you know, we were in the town and it was just a very casual meet and greet, but I just really haven't, because I haven't met someone that I know is going to be around for more than, let's say, 8, 9, 10 months.
Yeah.
Maybe after that point. I mean, if they were really eager to, and I really like somebody, then I would have that conversation with my kids, but I'm not going to subject them to meeting random people that I don't know that are going to be around in the next 6 months.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And what about your ex? Has he introduced anyone to the kids? How's that worked out?
He has. Yeah. I think maybe only one.
Okay.
And that was fine. My kids were fine with that. You know, they talked about it. They were fine with it, but they're also, you know, when we got divorced, they were 18 and 20, or, you know, around that, like 17, 19. So they're older. If they were younger, then I think that it would be a different story.
And I know you were married for a long time.
Yeah, 21 years.
Really happy. Can you share, do you have any insight looking back of what could have changed the trajectory of your relationship?
Absolutely. And this is the same advice that, I mean, my girlfriend, all my single girlfriends and I have talked about, is that kids, when they're young, take a lot of time and effort. And they, if you allow it to take the all of your focus, especially when the kids are young and away from your husband, it's going to affect your relationship. And it's hard to get that back. So if you don't have a date night, you know, once a week or however often, or have something, you know, special planned, trips, get away for a weekend with just, you know, the whole reason why you have kids is because you fell in love with this person in the first place. If it, you know, I mean, obviously there's different scenarios with everybody's relationship, but I really feel like if you can keep the focus on and appreciate your significant other, and it's not easy to do. I mean, you can talk to, you know, 8 out of 10 couples and they'll say it was the kids just kind of sucked our time away from us. And then to try and get that back, it's difficult. So, but if you can keep it going, I think that would be helpful.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Weekly dates. We always did that, Kevin and I.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to go out for dinner and a movie.
Right. It doesn't have to be anything crazy.
After the house. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Okay. Gosh, I feel like I could talk to you all day long.
I know.
We will end.
Yes.
Do you have, I know you're a realtor. Do you have social media or anything you want people to follow?
I do. Yeah. I've got a business Facebook page. It's Tara Neprud, and I think Tara Neprud Realtor. Okay. I've got an Instagram. It's a business page. So that's, it's got, you know, a lot of the stuff that I'm doing on there. So yeah. And if anybody needs any help with real estate, I'm happy to help.
Okay, good. We'll put it in the show notes. Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, that was good to talk to you.
And hearing your story.
Yeah. Thanks, Lori. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to Love on the Go. I hope you join us on our next episode. You can make sure to know when it is by following us wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, if you enjoyed it, it'd be great if you left us a review. I'd appreciate it. In the meantime, to learn more about me and how my team can help you, visit carolinasmatchmaker.com. Until next time.